My name is Michael Teller. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Dunwoody. I want to thank you all for showing up on this busy watch tonight. We have a great program. Michelle Alexander with Farming Company will be doing a PowerPoint, kind of leading a lot of the discussions this evening. And as many of you know, this is the second of five character meetings that we're going to be holding throughout the city. The other three will be in the month of January. Kimberly, do you have those dates in January, by chance?
I do. By the sign-in sheet, which you conveniently found by the Oreo, there are three dates in January. January 5th, January 12th, and January 21st. And there's a flyer next to the Oreos that has those three dates.
Oh, that's trying to give them an Oreo.
I know the Oreos are my weakness. They might be yours.
All here?
They'll be located geographically where that character area is. The one on the fifth will be at Georgetown Park, the atrium, Georgetown Square. There's the Jewish Community Center for the Tilly Meadow, Jeff Berry area, and Congregation Beth Shalom in the Winter's Chapel area. So we tried to locate them more specific to where these character areas, so we can draw the people from those areas to come in and get involved and provide comments on these programs. I would also like to recognize our distinguished guests. We have a man right here, Councilman Pennington, Councilman Ross, Councilman Shorvel, and
my bodyguard, Rick, is right here.
I'd like to turn this over to Michelle and Alexander, and thank you for coming out again.
Thank you. Again, I'm Michelle Alexander. I'm with Farming Company. The city hired our firm to work with you to write a comprehensive plan. We've had several meetings looking at the overview, big picture about the city, and now we're focusing in on specific geographic areas. I have to first ask, who has not been to a meeting? Who is a first-timer tonight? I think give these people an applause, encourage them to come again. This was the reason the city council said we've got to make sure we get more people to these meetings, and we want to make sure. So you are the evidence and the fruit of having additional meetings that you're able to come tonight. Now, the bad news is for the folks who come to other meetings, I've got to do a little repetition. I'm going to talk as briefly as possible because the meeting is really focused on hearing what you think and what you want for the specific area. And tonight we're focusing on the Dunwoody Village area. So it's to get your conversation and your discussion. But I do need to tell you why we're here. So I want the folks who haven't been here, you can tell your neighbors, you can tell your shop owners, you can tell your HOAs. And also, go ahead and tell your council people what you think as you go through this process and continue into the January meetings. The comprehensive plan tonight, we're going to just explain the process. We're going to talk about the citywide vision statement. Some folks have been to several meetings. You've got a hardworking steering committee that's been meeting late into late night. So there are members of the steering committee here tonight. Please raise your hand. Steering committee, there's just one tonight. They've been coming also very regularly to these community meetings and have worked to take the language that we've gotten from these meetings and put some of these drafts together. So these are your neighbors, and these are folks who are volunteering hours to help write the draft these comments. And we're going to specifically focus on the vision statement, what you want for the future. I'm going to ask us, we're going to have a pretty free-flowing discussion. But then I'd like us to come back together, and you've got handouts that we want to make sure we get your comments and we actually collect those written comments. So the comp plan, this is your policy. So congratulations on becoming a city. I know a lot of you worked hard to make that happen. One of the reasons some of you worked so hard was to have better control over land use decisions. This document is your official policy. This is putting into official legal status the things that you want to happen. And keep in mind, it's a 20-year horizon. So think of where you are, where your families are, where maybe your businesses are going to be 20 years from now. Think of transportation changes, the changes that you see in technology and in the environment, 20-year horizon. The Department of Community Affairs, that's at the state level. Georgia, make sure that we follow the rules, that we've got to cover some basic things. So we might say, I want all our money to be in that
gymnasium down the street. But guess what? They won't let you write a comp plan that only talks about the gymnasium that we want down the street. It says you have to look at transportation and natural resources and cultural resources, as well as land use. There are resources. We put together a community assessment. DCA says you've got to put together some data. That data, there's maps, shows you where you have some of your resources you might not have even known about. Population estimates, transportation projects, identifying where you have green space or undeveloped areas. That's a document. It's pretty thick. Some find it fascinating reading for the data geeks. It gives a lot of details, especially if you're in business and thinking about what are our economic indicators and our economic development. So that's one document. That's already been done. It's being refined and perfected. So when you put together what we're working on tonight is the community agenda. That's the most important part. That's your vision and it's your policy statements, the goals that you're going to set. And again, it's a 20-year time span. It also is an action plan. There's a 5-year action plan. How are we going to get to this vision? What are we going to do as a city? What are we committing ourselves to doing as a city? And that document's called the community agenda. Not my fault, kind of confusing. We have an agenda that we're sticking to, but then DCA came up with this document called community agenda. That's your action plan, what is really the heart of the comp plan. The agenda has to have certain pieces. One of the big pieces is, what is your vision for future development? They also asked that cities put together something called a future development map. So when you think about what's our vision for the area, the tool you're going to use is a future development map and says, these are the character of areas, the kind of future development we want. There's something distinctive about each area in the city. And we need to define that, and then we have to put in some parameters. So when you write your zoning regulations, when you write the hard rules, the things that become code, it's got to be backed up by the language we're working on tonight. So we want to be careful and make sure it's really well-defined, what kind of uses you want in this particular area, what kind of form, design, infrastructure you want to make sure that the policy statement gets incorporated when future development comes in, future building of the environment, and future decisions of the city you're going to have to take, like, where's the city hall going to go one day, all right? We are also required by DCA that we have this kind of meeting, and we've had 5 to date, that this document has to be written with community involvement. We've had, as you see, the dates up there, there's been 5 meetings, generalized meetings. From that, the steering committee worked to write up a citywide vision statement, and then we are starting to focus on additional 5 meetings focusing on what you heard Mike call character areas, these specific areas of the city, geographic areas, so we're going to define them. And when we talked about perimeter center at the last meeting, for those of you who came, I believe that will be on the webpage moving. How are things available on the webpage? It's already on there? So you can see what you missed. You can check out the prior PowerPoint that had discussion. So we've got meetings, we've had mapping exercises, we've recorded where you have differences and where you've had consensus. As a city statement, I apologize, but fortunately you have, this is a handout. I'm not going to read it this second, but I would like you to make sure you see it and pull it out because we will want you to comment on that. This is a statement that says of a city, from 20 years from now, this is what we want to become and who we want to be. The steering committee worked, we've worked from what we've heard from prior meetings, things that matter to you, what you want to keep and preserve about the city, things you want to cultivate, but also things you want to change. So if you could take a moment, and before we leave tonight, we're going to give you time at the end. I want to make sure you can have a lot of discussion, but we want you to take time to read through that and see what would make that a statement you can have ownership over. Does that sound like you're done with? And you see it has a general statement and then some bullet points where it goes into specific components. And we're asking you on that sheet you have on your chair, and bring it with you, ask your neighbors, we have extras, for them to comment. What would make that a stronger statement? What's a statement for a general citywide view of your future? I talked about this draft future development map, and what's so important is getting your policy into specific words for how you want to define each area. Tonight, we're looking at the Dunwoody Village. We came up with these areas, these geographic areas, through the meetings, but also just through observation. There are things that are distinctive. We heard over and over at the other meetings from our prior meetings, we want to preserve the single family, the residential that we have here. But there are some areas that we can see will have pressure to change, or we've seen pressure already to change. And we want to make sure we have rules to how will that change happen. And then there's some areas where you'd like to see change, where you know there's some redevelopment. You'd like to see improvements on how the aesthetics, perhaps. So that's part of how some of the lines on here got drawn. And also for Dunwoody Village, particularly, you already have some folks working on some rules. You have an overlay. And I have, there's a chair of the overlay, and I wondered if you'd mind introducing yourself and just mentioning a little bit about the overlay itself, since that's what we're talking about tonight, the policy, but you could just mention what the overlay, where you are to date with that new...
I'm Bill Robinson.
...regulation.
Been with 36 years, but most important for me to stand up here tonight, Mayor Wright appointed me and several other people to be on the Dunwoody Village Overlay District Committee, and we rewrote, starting back early spring for a couple of 3 months, my committee rewrote the overlay district rules or ordinance. We submitted that to the council and bring it up the chain to the council, and they recently approved the overlay district rule. Let me give you a real short background if you don't know it. Dunwoody Homeowners Association, after debating with DeKalb County for years over what Dunwoody would look like, we didn't have a city at that time, we decided to hire an architectural firm to create an overlay district for Dunwoody Village area. Dunwoody Village area, this area right here, so it's more than Dunwoody Village. It's all the commercial and O&I property within that boundary, those boundaries. We had the Dunwoody homeowners pay for that architectural firm to do that, and that was subsequently in the 90s approved, and that's what became the Dunwoody Village Overlay District. So without going into any more detail on that, I would submit that whereas most places, the comprehensive land use plan would serve as a template around which you would build an overlay district for that particular zone, I would suggest that the overlay district that's already in place, the ordinance, become the template to create the comprehensive land use plan. And the overlay district rules or ordinance cover such things as architecture, and I mean in great detail, signage, streetscape, all other kind of amenities. You're not going to enter that much detail. I would point out a couple of things that I would want you to consider. Included in the new overlay district, we suggested that rather than just looking at what we want today, we needed to anticipate future growth within the overlay district. So we added a paragraph. By the way, you can get this online. You can go onto the city website. Read the whole thing in detail. It's 26 pages. I'm not going to read it to you. Two things I want to point out. One is a lot of people have for years erroneously referred to as Williamsburg architecture. There is no such thing. No, any architect would tell you there is no such thing. If you've been to Williamsburg, again, you'll know that. We changed the definition to be more accurate. We now call it the pre-1900 Mid-Atlantic American Colonial Architecture. and you laugh, but guess what? You read that to an architect, he's down there. That's what you're talking about. So that's why we changed the name. Plus, if Williamsburg was erroneous, if you created an overlay district elsewhere, it wouldn't be the same. These rules would change to fit that location. The other thing I would point out, and I disagree with this, I don't know if they did not read our overlay district or weren't aware of it. We agree with the five-story limitation. We agree with mixed use. But we feel very strongly about this, in instead of having three stories on the boundary, we limited that to two stories. If you live in a private home, think whether or not you want to back up to a three-story building or one or two-story building. And so we limited it for our first 100 feet around outside that's next to residential. In addition to the buffer that's already there, they would have to stay at two stories or more for the first 100 feet, and then inside of that they could do mixed use and other sizes of five stories. Yes, ma'am.
Is part of, can we have any control or is part of this plan include the traffic improvements? Because one of the things I think is on my mind, like a mile away, you're talking about an area that is already part of your investment. We're going to be building all this.
We didn't adjust traffic in our
ordinance.
They will, but I'm saying, I'm separating the Gunwood and the Gold Lake District. We didn't address it.
But go back, what is the idea that that would be addressed?
We mentioned the comprehensive plan does take into account an assessment of existing somewhat congestion, and it does broad parameters of issues like transportation, but the city will be has committed to conducting a city transportation plan. If I was understood correctly from what you mean, it's a 2010. So they should go speak to each other. So the results of this feed and inform that city transportation plan. So there is a component in here, a section that talks about transportation, but not in the details in the sense that we would measure impact. We talk in general terms. So a comp plan, they create general policy statements. I'll give you an example. It says the existing congestion that we all feel along X road will be mitigated through the following approaches. One, the CTP, the City Transportation Plan, will look at alternatives, parking, a range of access, how many curb cuts, so things like that. So only at the very general level, which is probably not very satisfying
which comes first, chicken or the egg? Or are we going to say, okay, go what you want, and we'll figure out the roads, or is it going to be,
And, I got to say amen to that, because I know a lot of people live in the green areas here, and all the city councilmen have heard this from me for the past year, but I want to make it crystal clear, we want all of this limited before we get the traffic straightened out, not get this stuff approved, and then we have to expand the roads to support all of this. The city was formed to take care of the citizens who were living in the single-family houses and control the growth and control the increase in density and to get law enforcement. We don't want the expansion. We don't want the increased traffic. We want to get that out of here and keep the residential feel to the neighborhoods.
Can I take a minute to expound upon what Bill was talking about? Just by way of background, I'm Bob Dallas. I serve on the Dunwoody Planning Commission as its chairman. I also served on the DeKalb County Planning Commission for 12 years and as vice chairman. The overlay district served as a very good tool. And that tool, to me, as a planning commissioner, was to basically maintain it for what it was against what would have been perhaps development that I think generally the community was not amenable to. A lot of that had to do with signage and some of the building design characteristics. But in the event, it served as a good tool to maintain the status quo. So if you love what you got and wanted to keep it exactly as you have, then I think the overlay district does that extremely well. It doesn't do much as it relates to transportation. It doesn't do much as it relates to density, which are very two important things to address as a whole, because if those two aren't addressed well, you can pretty much assure yourself you'll keep what you've got. As it relates to the traffic flows around Shambie, Dunwoody, and Mount Vernon, there are many tools probably available to help ameliorate that to a degree. Recognizing that much of the traffic that flows through those two major arteries, and yes, they are arterials, which is a very defined term under our road classification system, a lot of that traffic which is carried by those roads are indeed external to Dunwoody. I would challenge and rejoin anybody to help me keep folks who come through Dunwoody to not come through here anymore. However, we have a constitution and a law under the state level that probably would make that very difficult.
Okay.
Now, there are other tools that we can help to ameliorate that, part of which will be, for example, as identified in the language of what's before you in the handout, is creating additional connectivity within the project itself, which doesn't exist today by any good standard. And hopefully we can have a real open discussion about that. The second thing to consider is the mix of uses that are there today in terms of what kind of attractors are they. Are they single car trip attractors? Or are they the kinds of things that envision people there for periods of time and doing multiple trips? Would you be able to combine uses so that you could go to the city hall, to the dry cleaners, to the post office, to the YMCA, to other kinds of uses that would be there, so you're not making more multiple trips for the residents who do live here? But realize that, you know, ultimately the question is going to come down to, with a comprehensive land use plan vision of that area, what do you want it to be in 30 years? Because we can look back in 30 years ago and it looks pretty similar to what it is today. And it, you know, put a check mark and keeping it exactly the same, increasing traffic, by the way, because of the externalities that are going on around here, and keep your overlay district like it is. Or you can consider alternatives, and alternatives I would invite you to look at that are very nearby are cities such as Smyrna, Suwanee, Duluth. Take a peek at each of those, because each of those have asked themselves the very same question we're debating here today, and have come up with their answers that look exactly like what you see there today. And if that's the kind of look that you like, or the kind of feel that you like, the kind of transit options, I say transit options, the transportation options that you like, the connectivity that you like, then talk about it from that perspective. If it's not, then you don't talk about it from another perspective. Or if exactly what you like is there today, look at it as a placeholder and say, keep it like it is. Like, you know, those are very basic questions that I think are fair to ask amongst all of us, recognizing this is the heart of Dunwoody, and one of the benefits of becoming a city is we can create for ourselves a place we actually want to go to versus some of these other spots. You got a question to me, or if there's one?
Well, I just wanted to respond to me, there's a couple of different things that are going on here that we, that are different. To me, when the area that we're talking about, I think right now the status quo does not add to the value of our home. To me, I look at Norcross and think, look at old Norcross, you know, Dunwoody Village would probably be very nice like that, with a village green and nice shops and things that would be an attraction, but not add that seriously to the traffic because of the way it's used. On the other hand, when you're talking about putting in businesses and putting in apartments, you're talking about very high density commuting in and out of what is already an overly congested area. So while I would be totally for renovating that area, I have concern when I read that we're talking about three-story and two-story buildings when we can't get the people through that we have already.
You're right, but let me just suggest that's what Norcross has added, that's what Swanee has added, that's what Smyrna has added as part of the overall mix for something you described that you'd like to look up.
Right, but they have the road back
it up. I would debate so that for some of those two. I would debate that, but anyway, that's part of their solution to similar problems to us.
Can we talk about when we're going to do the master transportation plan for the city and how that ties into local planning for land use? Because there is scheduled a separate study for the master transportation plan. Let's talk about that.
And we have to defer to city on the draft date. I understood it was from 2010 that if they wanted to.
From what I've been told, it'll be a component of the results of the comprehensive plan, which realistically will be May or June before everything's finalized about five mayors and councils. At that point, then we're going to change transportation for some time. The mayor may know a little bit more, and probably does, than myself about the specifics.
Thank you for putting me on that spot. Appreciate it. I actually left my iPhone in the car, and I just happened myself to look up some particular dates, but it is within the budget. I think we've got some councilmen here that if any of your memories serve you any better, but.
The fundamental question, though, which comes first, they need to inform each other. And I think the city was conscientious in saying, we want to make sure we have rules in place about the land use. Now, the policy, you can talk about infrastructure. You can say statements about how you want to phase things. You can use phasing language, and we can talk about that and give you some examples of where they've done some
to that phasing. Point, there's a third leg. Yes. Never forget that, and that's the actual zoning.
Right.
Which what we're talking about is land use now, which is a very broad characteristic type discussion. The transportation plan is incredibly important, as Joe suggested, because it'll include things like the bike paths and other things that we want as alternatives. But the zoning itself will be that tool that really gets much more precise and is the executor of how these things are done. So typically, I think what you're seeing in terms of what step-by-step process, it's very common, I think, to see land use, transportation, zoning go in that type of process, because then your zoning will be reflective of your transportation so that you can really start saying, hey, if the transportation plan never envisions allowing for those kinds of counts and we're going to produce those counts, then our zoning shouldn't follow suit. You see what I'm saying? So I think the order is probably correct. You got to start somewhere.
And remember that your comprehensive plan can be amended, and I would encourage you to write language in there once a year and let's take a look at it. That way it stays an active document, a living document, and as conditions change, you can once a year or every 2 years check, are we on track?